You are listening to the podcast of the Attention Young Choreographer Series 2023. Artistic direction, Chris Standfest. Co-funded by the European Union in the frame of the project Lifelong Burning, Futures Lost and Found. Today's guest is Chara Kotzali. Chara is a performer, choreographer and dance instructor based in Athens, Greece. She has studied theater studies as well as social and cultural anthropology and is musically trained. Her artistic practice merges choreography with field recordings, sound collage and writing. She sat down with author Sean Pfeiffer to discuss her first solo work, To Be Possessed. It premiered at Onassis Dance Days in Athens before being presented at Schauspielhaus Vienna in the frame of Impulse Tanz, Vienna International Dance Festival. In their conversation, the two touch upon the myth of artistic ecstasy, the comfort of routine, and the similarities between contemporary dance and poetry.
Hi, Chara. Very nice that you're here. This is your last day of your residency at Impulse Tanz. You were here for 2 weeks to show your piece To Be Possessed as well at the Schauspielhaus. And I want to talk about your piece in a bit, but I also want to ask you just about your time at Impulse Tanz. You told me that you were here before as an audience member. So perhaps, yeah, how was it to be here as an artist as well, but as an artist and as an audience member at the same time?
Actually, the previous times I was as an audience member and as a participant of the workshops, but it's indeed my first time presenting something here, which is for me really important and quite touching, because the first time I came was when I was in a second year of studying dance, so it just completes a circle that's quite symbolic for me. But I mean, the Impulse Tanz has this special way of gathering people from really different, I wouldn't say fields, because still it's in a broader sense, it's dance, but with very different approaches to this, to the art of dance, which is always for me is a blessing, because even the discussions after the performances or even participating in the workshops after I've done the performance was me a very special experience, because I had the time to digest the experience of performing through discussing a topic in the workshop, which is, I mean, you don't get to do that usually. You get to, at best, you get to go to a place and stay and have, you know, some free space and time, which is really important. But here I also had the possibility to take workshops for free in the framework of the residency, which somehow completed this experience of researching, digesting the performance here, which is the first time I played it outside of Greece, and at the same time revisiting your tools as a dancer and as a choreographer through the workshops. So for me it was a very, if you say 360 experience, mm-hmm. I don't know if you use that in English.
Yeah.
A really full thing in all aspects. But I don't know if you asked for that, if I'm running ahead, but generally the possibility of having time and space is the greatest gift you can give to an artist these days, and especially dancers, because, I mean, our time and the spaces we have are scattered. You cannot buy your time. You cannot find easily spaces to just rest and leave the research flourish in its organic temporality. Usually you have to have a, you know, take a money to do something, present it in the end, which is, you can call it a research, but it's not research. Research has to have the space and the time and the freedom not to conclude in something by the end of it. And I'm really, really grateful that I had the chance to do that. Even for these 2 weeks, I mean, I feel that I've proceeded a lot.
when you talk about like that kind of usual model not really being research, how does your like maybe how does your actual process and how does your like ideal process for research look like? Because the piece you've shown at Schauspielhaus is like a very, it has like a very specific topic, and it uses a lot of like actual like archival footage. So it has like a, not even like a dance research aspect to it, but an actual like almost like scientific research aspect to it as well. Like how does your process look there? Does it differ from piece to piece?
To be honest, this is my first individual choreographic piece, because the previous I've done were collaborative, so I would have to say different things. And before that, I was mainly performing other people's pieces, which I still do. So I'm quite new in individual creation, and so I can note after I've done. I don't have an agenda on how to do research. Yeah. I don't know. I just go and. But I've realized that what I did in the previous piece is that I had the need to use tools from other disciplines, because I've also finished a master in anthropology, so there are quite a lot methodological tools and even thematics that are from that field, which I try to somehow inject in the choreographic research, which is itself a huge thing. Choreographic research could be tons of things. I mean, archives are a thing that interests me, but still, who doesn't? We're living in a period where there's an archival fever. You know, everyone is into archives, which makes me wonder why. But I'm also one of the people that are interested in historicity, in how do you approach a notion through its traces, historic traces, and not just through the, you know, physical interpretation of the notion. I mean, it's for sure other tools that I borrow from, let's say, anthropology or other fields, and for sure the research with sound, which interests me a lot. I'm not a professional musician, not at all, but I try to somehow find ways to use the sound as a material also in the process.
It's very interesting because it's such a precise performance, like it's like almost like it's incredibly precise the way you do it, but it also like it made me wonder because like the you use the archival footage mostly as like interviews with women who talk about them being possessed, and the piece is in a way, and correct me if I'm wrong, but in a way about loss of control in a broader sense perhaps, but the piece itself is incredibly controlled.
I understand what you're saying.
I really like wonder about like if that was like a very deliberate like choice to have this like contrast, or to or is it just the way you work?
Today, what I would have to commend for what you say are just two things that I think conclude in one. To begin with, the documents, the sound documents, the audio documents you hear are things I've collected. Some are interviews I did, and some are things I found out there, which are not all about actual possession. What do you mean, actual possession? I mean, women that say they experience somehow possession of a demon or whatever. They're also inside, which it doesn't, you don't need to know it when you watch. I'm just saying now. There are writers there that talk about how what it feels to write something and having the voice of the person you put on the paper, what it feels to perform and having something get inside you. I'm doing the air quote. I'm just saying for the podcast. And perform with this feeling, or what does it feel to listen to the unheard voices as a political statement? So for me, after a point, it's not about being possessed in a metaphysical way, or vice versa, existing is never I mean, existing is being possessed. You always talk in many languages. I mean, you say something and you say, oh, that's my mother. That's not me who's yeah. talking. You're haunted by presences, by other movements you do that are not yours. And there are moments where you transform into a being that is more multivocal, if I can say, polyphonic. So for having these different audio documents, for me, was a way to approach the notion of possession more openly. I mean, possession also in English means to be not in full authority of yourself, which for me is a perfect state in this era that we live. You have to be, you can do it all by yourself, you're fantastic, you're individual. I believe that's a great fraud. That's the part of the documents. And then the part that you notice that is, you know, as you say, your words, very controlled and specific and precise, I think has to do with the fact that I wouldn't at all want to imitate or represent a state that is something that we think of what a possession is, like a woman banging on the ground and spitting or whatever. I just, as I say, it's a rehearsal of possession. I'm just doing the steps to visit this archive. It's not that it's happening to me, because I'm already possessed, yeah. and you are already possessed, because your mother, your father, even if you don't love them, even if you don't have them, they're there. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's not about getting crazy on stage or losing control in that sense.
It is a way of like staging like a possession, but I feel like in staging it, it almost like kind of flips it in a way, because it. I mean, hopefully. when you talk about a. But like really like turning it around in the way that it that a possession is often like talked about in the way that like strange voices like from the outside like take possession of a body and mm-hmm. and the voices are the outside force in that sense. And I feel like when seeing your performance, like the voices are there, and you are the body coming to the voices and taking possession of them in a way, because you have control, you manipulate the voices, you are in full control on stage, or at least as an audience member I feel like you are in full control. Like I never doubt the fact that it's going to be like so precise and like to the point.
That's so nice what you're saying, that you visit the, you're not the vessel that things come to you. You go to the, you visit the archive. Or you,
yeah,
I mean, I've never thought about it like that. But I mean, the first day I started working on that, I said, okay, I don't know what this piece is going to look like, but for sure, I'm not going to be a Bakhai in the end, like with my tits out, banging the walls. I mean, yeah. It's the one, I didn't know why, but I said, okay, let's try that. Let's not go there. And for me, there's also, which is kind of inside, an element of failure. Mm-hmm. I fail to be possessed in that mm-hmm. way, because I'm already there. I mean, I have voices speaking in my head, and you and everyone. As a human being, and that's why there's a small part in the end where it says, it's a Greek text which says, I can never be alone. I have my friends. I watch TV. I just do stuff through other people and through other voices. So it's somehow also. Talking about the impotency of being lonely. You're never lonely, actually, somehow. So it's not a matter of losing control in the way we have it in representations in horror movies, let's say.
You told me that it's the first time you presented outside of Greece. Mm. Do you feel like that made a difference, perhaps for you in presenting it, but also like in the discussions you had afterwards, perhaps with people? Or do you feel like there's like a specific, almost like also like cultural connotation to the history of the way possession is understood, that is different here than in Greece?
Yeah, I think it could be. I think it could be. Although I mean, the ground base of horror movies in our era is quite. Common, you know, we've all seen The Exorcist, we've all seen the tons of movies where there's a woman through a male gaze that is, you know, shaking and blah, blah, blah. So this was a common ground. I was sure I would meet the same common ground in Greece, in Germany, in mm-hmm. Austria. We've all seen the movies. But in terms of a cultural history of these things, I think there's a quite a difference in Catholic, dogma, mm-hmm. and Orthodox, where I come from. I cannot speak from the Catholic because I've never lived for a long time in a country that is mainly Catholic people, but I have the feeling that it's maybe a more collective thing to deal with it. Because I met an Italian girl after the performance, and the pictures I put on the background, she said, okay, it's a very familiar image for me. You know, having this lots of people holding one woman. Because in the pictures, I've never put a man's hand. I've erased all the priest hands. But, you know, in Greece, you would find one priest just doing stuff above the body of the lady. In Catholic Church also, but there are many people involved in helping this body just to free herself. Which I don't suggest it. I suggest people should stay possessed, nevertheless.
You just mentioned the images that you...
they glue.
Yeah, that you glue on the back. And I was wondering about that as well, because it is very... it's not, you're not only performing, you're also in a way like at work, or it feels like that. Like like it's a very structured process of like doing, like you, it feels like you've done it 100 times before, and it's very, it's almost like a routine. Mm. But then you also talked about how almost like this expectation of artists, perhaps maybe, or performers to have this sort of like loss of control on stage, to have like almost this like, always this kind of sort of expectation of perhaps ecstasy or something, or leaving your body, even though you also want to have control of it. But then you have all these like tasks you have on stage, and you have to meet these certain points. And do you feel like there's still like a sort of freedom in doing it? And like, is there still the expectation for you to do it differently every night, or to find something else, or is it really, do you have like a...
No, I can understand what you're saying. Yeah, of course. But there are parts, physical movement parts in the show that are quite respondent to the situation of the moment. I mean, toward, mainly the dance part, if I may say. The rest of them, for me, it's quite comforting to have them as they, the same way. Because it's like following a ritual. Of things. I don't mean a very sacred ritual. Ritual as in you go, you wash your teeth every day the same. And this comforts you because you know that it's your way to start your day. For example, I'm saying, so for me, the way to start this performance is to go and put this point of reference, which is this first image, which is my reference point, that this woman, and then you hear a voice, maybe it's not the woman's voice, but I try to bring the archive in different materialities. And I prefer the fact for now, for this piece, that it is analog. I wouldn't have a projector with a... So I'm into the labor, as you said, of doing... And it's also a thing we were doing when I was young in the university, because I was... I still am in political... groups, let's say, and we did that all the time. We wanted to have a moment of people just to look at something that for us was really a sacred political purpose. So I've done this a lot of times, sticking posters, political posters on the wall that they weren't there the other day because something was on top of it. So for me, it's a routine that makes me feel happy. And all the rest of the things, like trying the materials, the hay, the, you know, the and the instruments, so it's super fine being the same every night. It's my only way to go in the piece. I want to hear your arguments on that.
No, I don't have an argument on that. I just I think I'm trying to perhaps like connect the topic of this like loss of control to like the routine or like ritual you're talking about. But I guess there is like, even like in real life, there's this very obvious connection, because like even like an exorcism or something is in a way like a very like routine reaction to something we don't understand. Like, it is like a priest comes and then does a thing that we think perhaps, or even maybe know, that it won't do anything, but it is like a sort of...
Yeah, and even in other cultures, which for which I certainly cannot speak about, because, I mean, God forbid, but I mean, like, voodoo stuff, which are, like, inviting the demon that, or the whatever force that is, that they're not throwing it away, which it's more what I understand as a good thing to do. But still, there's a quite specific ritual how to do it. I mean, after a point, you lose control and things become messy. But the way to do it is very specific. I don't want to say what it is, because I'm not very... it's not my thing, so I don't want to appropriate other cultural stuff. But still, it's very specific what to do. You go to a certain place, you say certain stuff, you drink certain stuff. It's not improvising around the thing. It's a ritual. So it has to be... You have to walk certain steps to reach that. I mean, when you think about possessions, without, let's say we haven't even talked about the play, nothing. Is the first thing you think, what is it?
I mean, it's funny because the moment you said possessions, I didn't, even though we talk about your work to be possessed, like, I literally just thought about, like, actual, like, physical things that I own, almost, like possessions that I, things
yeah,
that
but
I keep.
That's fantastic.
Because
there are things that don't have their own agency. You move them, they are possessed somehow. You understand what I'm saying?
It's totally. And I mean, that's exactly what you're doing on stage as well. Like, you have these very, like, you have these, I mean, you could call them props, but they all also, like, feel like there's something else. Like, they always almost, like, feel like they're art objects in a way, like, the way you present them. Like, it's a very, like, almost like classical show, in the sense that it's not, I mean, you're on stage and it's very frontal. Like, it's,
yes, of course.
It's almost like an installation in a way, I feel in the moment, in the beginning. And you have these pillars where you have the trumpet and then you have the audio recording, station. So I feel like you look at those, things, you look at them as objects before you look at them as a set or as props to be dealt with.
Totally.
I feel like. And then, of course, they have their use, and you kind of, like, wait for the trumpet to do its thing in a way.
But that's completely to the point, because, I mean, it's what I've also written when I was writing about the thing, is the material world is also ready to be possessed somehow and return something back to you, for sure. Because, I mean, when you're playing an instrument, it creates something, it resonates in this place, it resonates other objects. Another person that was more into religion would say that it can evoke something. They used to have these horns that were calling the souls. For me, it's calling some kind of a soul, but it's not in a metaphysic way. So indeed, yes, the material stuff and the material stuff as well are there too, in the same process for me. So that's all the point with the objects. They felt good for some reason, which wasn't apparent from the first moment every time. But you have to trust that sometimes, that you have the intuition to bring something in the performance. And more or less, you get to understand why it's there. It's never... without a reason, but you have to trust your intuition. So I had the intuition to bring these elements, and I don't know if they worked or not, but they worked for my intention. But I was thinking, because I was saying about the writing stuff, and you told me your studies were in writing. I don't know how you approach it, but writing is somehow, it needs some fantasy between. I mean, how do you deal with that? You just start writing and your hand goes, you have an image before. It's some kind of a possessed.
I mean, it is funny, because there is, like, yeah, there is this sort of, like, in the same way that perhaps, like, performers have, like, this expectation of them, like, reaching like a higher state or something when they're on stage, there is like this idea of like it entering you and just like flowing through you and the pen on the page, like this sort of like I mean, it's bullshit, of course.
Yeah, of course.
But it is. I feel like it is a big part of the way we think about writers and about poets specifically. That it just like that it enters you and it flows through you. And I don't have that. Like, there's perhaps like a handful of moments where you feel like you write a poem and you write it all at once, and it feels like it just like came. But then again, it's like very similar, perhaps, to your objects on stage. That it's like sentences and it's verses that you move around and you manipulate it and you put this thing over that and you know.
Yeah, but it's very... also, I mean, that the words themselves are a live material.
Yeah.
Because they resonate back to you and they tell you it's sounding stupid, but they let you know if it's wrong. You construct a poem and you put things right and they feedback you it's right, then you see them and it's not right, so it's like working with the words, so the words are not just something you produce. Since you've put them on the paper, it's a live material which has to go away or come back or change position. So I was not imagining exactly what you said, the crazy writer that's sweating and writing, kind of not stop writing like we had in the movies. But still, I mean, sometimes I don't write poems at all. I just write more academic stuff. But I start writing, and then the word just gets me somewhere. And then I stop because I watch it and it's bullshit. But I'm the one that wrote it. You know what I'm saying? I could have not written it, but...
But there is, I feel like there's always like these two different layers, right? Like there's the thing, not just with writing, but like performing as well. Like there's perhaps like this idea of something you want to bring on stage or onto the page, and then you do it and it's different because of course it is. But I don't know, I always think about, I think his name is Cadman. He was like the first poet to ever write in English, I think is like the legend.
Wow.
And there's like this legend of him... being like around the campfire with like friends of his and them and them singing and asking him to also sing, and he's so afraid that that he wouldn't be able to sing that he leaves the fire and he goes, I think, into a barn and he falls asleep, and then in his sleep there's like you could call it a demon, but I think there's like a god or an angel, like some higher being coming down and asking him to sing as well, and he wants to, like, he opens his mouth and wants to say that he can't, but then of course like the most beautiful song you've ever heard comes out of his mouth, and then he wakes up and he goes to the campfire and he suddenly, of course, he can sing and he sings and sings and sings, but and everyone likes it, but he's very unhappy because he feels like the song that he sang in his dream was beyond the song that he could ever sing on earth, you know. So there's always like this, even when you're successful at what you're doing, like there's always this sense of, okay, but like the thing that brought that made me do it in a way, like the perhaps the like energy I kind of sensed or that I could perhaps like replicate on stage, I can't, you know. Do you have that?
Yeah, for sure. And it's about breaking your own constructed mythologies and how one should create, or what does it mean to be passionate about something, or you know, whatever we mean when we say out of control. That's what we're commenting. As you said, I didn't sleep and woke up and my hand wrote the perfect poem, because that's bullshit.
Yeah.
After all, I mean, it never happens like that. Or at least I haven't seen it, and I'm waiting for someone to let me know if this happens. It's the same thing with the performance, as you said, and the precision and the failure to meet this representation. That's why there's this text that keeps coming, and that there's this girl, I won't reveal her name, that she says that before I performed, I felt something come into me, and I knew it was because it was going to be my coming out night. I've never felt that. Never, ever. I just shit my pants and I say, okay, I feel like going through the score and focusing on what I have to do. So there's nothing metaphysical about that. The only metaphysical thing is that I bring my polyvocal voice on stage, and that is already a possessed body for me, because in every move I do or in every word you write, I can see all the pre-writings on my body, or the words you write, the way you conjunct the words together. I can see already a whole history of the things you've read or the exercises you've done. So I mean, that's passion for me. You don't have to do anything more about it. It's a body or a mind that has been sculpted, or has let itself be sculpted by all these things. So it's exactly reaching again the point of what it means to be out of control, or we have to decolonize this image of creation that is something that comes from somewhere else.
Yeah. I also like, but that you take this like quote from the girl that you don't connect with at all in a way, or you don't you relate and you can't relate to it, but you connect perhaps to it, and then you bring it onto the stage, and you kind of take possession of it in a way, and then that is what we as an audience kind of like connect you with as well, you know, like there is a sense of like willing it by like making it
it's like playing dead.
Yeah,
you get in the form.
Yes, exactly. Like I can't write the perfect poem, but I can write a poem about not being able to, basically. Mm-hmm. And it's not the same thing, but it's in the same vicinity, or you deal with it in a way, you know.
Yes, exactly.
Like it doesn't leave you totally. Exactly. It's still like you can still like hold on to it in a way, and you can make out with it. So it's
try to taste it from different angles.
Yeah.
Without never being the thing.
Yeah. Thank you very much
for this
conversation.
So
thank you very much for showing your work. I enjoyed it.
I thank the festival for having me.
Yeah.
For giving me time and space and meeting all these nice people, and we'll meet again. Don't know when, but I'm sure we'll meet again some sunny day.
You have been listening to the podcast of the Attention Young Choreographer series. For more artist conversations, visit the websites lifelongburning.eu and impulsetanz.com.